Good morning, Lake B. It has been several weeks since we've had the chance to be with you all, and we miss you. It's good to be home. When Lena asked, Pastor Lena said, "Can you preach on this Sunday?" And I looked at the schedule and realized, for once, we're not at another congregation serving, worshiping, ministering, that thing. Sure, I'd love to. And she goes, "Well, can you deliver the sermon?" And I thought to myself, I'd really like to just sit in the audience. any way I can serve is fine, right? It's a blessing. Pray with me. Father, thank you so much for friends, for co-laborers together, for finding that you're present among us. Thank you for the rain-snow mix. Thank you so much for beauty and brokenness. Be with us now. Guide my words, guide my heart. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, I don't know how to start this sermon. I've gone back and forth on this. In fact, Pastor Lena tried to persuade me to use another text. She goes, "You don't have to use that one." And that's code in the preacher speak. That's code for, you might not want to preach from this text. But I read it and I continued to read it all week long, and it just stayed with me. And so I'm going to walk through this text. I'm not going to read it entirely in kind of word for word, but I'm going to just walk us through this text. And I think there's something here because Pastor Paul and I were at dinner last Monday with a group of pastors, and one pastor was sharing how they were doing and saying that the money was down and the attendance was down, so things are really tough right now. And I joked, trying to make the situation a little bit lighter, I joked, "Well, yeah, those are the two Presbyterian ways that we determine if we're being fruitful or not." Yeah, I know. And as I continued to read the text this week, I had a chance to look into Paul and how he saw the making of God's people as distinctly different from numbers and money. So Paul is writing in 1 Thessalonians to this church, to the Thessalonian people. And like is Paul's normative way of doing things, when he's writing to a people, he first compliments them before he corrects them. You can see in his letters to the church of Colossae, to the church at Ephesus, he has this tendency to say, "I thank God for you. You're awesome. Now let me tell you where you're wrong." And then he comes back at the end and says, "Greetings from us to you." Right? This is Paul's way. Well, when Paul, in this greeting, in this opening, Paul goes into a little bit more detail, actually. And his compliments of them are kind of emblematic of what he sees in them as the making of God's people. Right? And so he starts first by, and this is going to be a challenge for some, because when Paul talks in this chapter to the people of God, he's not talking to individuals. And so much, when we hear the sermon, oftentimes when we read the scripture, we're talking and thinking through the lens of us, of I. So I'm going to challenge you to hear this as Lake Burien and to move away from kind of how Tally thinks about this sermon or this text, or how does it speak to me? Okay? So if we can think about how it speaks to us, the people of God, the people being made by God, shaped by God, I think we'd be able to hear this text correctly in its correct context, but also pull out from it some really interesting ideas. He says, "Grace and peace to you, thanksgiving for the Thessalonians' faith." says, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the making of God's people have something to do with this unwavering faith, a labor that's embedded in love, and the endurance that's inspired by hope. He goes on to say that for we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that we are chosen because the gospel has come to us not simply with words, but also with power and with deep conviction. And he goes on to say in verse 6 that you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with joy. And so you became a model to all the believers in other cities, Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in those cities, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Known everywhere. Therefore, we do not say anything about it, for it speaks of itself. It speaks of itself. For they themselves report what kind of reception, hospitality, that we had among you. They tell you how you turned to God from idols to serve the living God and to wait for his son from heaven. I want to pick out some of those pieces because the making of God's people are not in whether or not we grow in numbers or whether we have money, but the making of God's people are found in these little nuggets here. The making of God's people are found in a steadfast faith. The making of God's people are found in labor done in love. The making of God's people is when you have that endurance that's inspired by hope. And I don't know if some of you have been working in Lake Burien for any amount of time, but if you have, the last few months, years, have been a labor of love. The last few years have been steadfast faith. The last few years have been endurance and hope. Anytime you're made to experience awkwardness by talking about issues of justice, you are pushed into uncomfortability by seeing people who are different from your normal Presbyterian way, who don't like meetings, committees, or have to committee about every decision. You might have been pushed into uncomfortability. Might be uncomfortable with people who process things differently than you, who don't see justice or racism in things, who don't look at the police issues the same way as you. It's been, for some, a labor of love, but that's what it means to be made into God's people. For some, it's been steadfast faith, experiencing in this congregation what it means to stick to it when it doesn't feel good. When you lead a meeting and you're the only one showing up, steadfast faith. Steadfast faith when you don't understand everything that happens when Lena is preaching about justice or cultural issues or your orientation to the scripture is it should be about Jesus only, as if Jesus is not involved in these issues, and yet you sat uncomfortably. You were steadfast in your faith. It was a labor of love, and you're hopefully inspired by hope. God is making us his people. It doesn't always feel right, though, does it? It doesn't always feel comfortable, does it? But this is the power of God's transforming work, is he moves us out of comfortability into this area of uncomfortability, but not so far as to make us unsafe. And in that moment is great transformation. And God is transforming us, Lakeburyan. God is amen. That's what I felt like responding to that. God is transforming us. Hallelujah. God is transforming us. God is teaching us how to do things with deep conviction and still listen to the other. God is teaching us how that the gospel is not so much what we say, but the gospel is what we do. And that people are becoming, in many ways, imitators of us. I have the wonderful opportunity of preaching at other Presbyterian churches. I have the opportunity of hearing what people think about Lake Burien as a community. I believe God is making us the kind of people that are imitating him, that are imitating Christ, and we're imitating each other in that steadfast love, in that labor, in that hope. We're imitating each other now. And in that, it is starting to seep out from this place that something is going on here. It's not money, and it's not numbers. It's something much more rich. You see, Paul told the Thessalonians that they had learned how to put away idols. Interesting mark of God's people is that they have learned to put away idols. And for some of us, we may think of idols as this strange thing or this figurine or this, but really there are idols we've been working at putting away, and it's been awesome to watch God make us his people by putting the idol of our national identity aside. We are not the people of God who are limited by the boundaries or the circumference of our national heritage, but we are God's people. No matter where we are found, no matter what nation state, no matter where we are born, we are God's people. And putting that idol aside has made some of us at times maybe feel uncomfortable, but I implore you, God is making us his people. Even putting aside the idol of our social cultural identity and not worshiping it, but putting it in its proper place. We, for so many years in Christendom, have put away our social cultural identity, moved it aside as if Jesus wasn't a real being with real body, with real flesh. He wasn't really a Middle Eastern Jewish boy. And the other temptation is to own that Jewish heritage so much that we don't see that Jesus is the transcendent divine one, fully human but fully God. And we almost raise up the social cultural identity so that's all there is to Jesus. But when we properly put it in its context, we become made in God's image and in God's likeness, and that's work, because it's so easy to idolize these ends. And what we're seeing is, and struggling with, that requires steadfast faith, which that requires that really, that hope that endures, is when you put it in its proper context, when you put it in its proper place, it's the incarnation. And that's what Lake B, in my opinion, in this text, is being implored to remember. Remember, we are the multicultural body of Christ. And the idol of our social cultural identity, the idol of our wealth, the idol of our nation state, the idol of our political affiliation are all idols that get put aside as we lift up Jesus, the Jewish Jesus. Fully human, fully divine. That uncomfortability, that struggle, that uncomfortableness is what Paul says makes you God's people. It's not that you don't have those struggles. It's not that you don't have those awkward moments. It's that you do have them. That's the making of God's people. And then he ends by saying, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us. Listen to this, folks. The making of God's people comes when we learn together to wait on each other. You're in a different place in your journey than the person sitting next to you. The making of God's people is when we learn how to wait for each other as we walk this journey together. And in that waiting on each other, it teaches us how to wait on Jesus. And not to become the kind of people who have to get it done right now. You know those folk. This has to happen right now. We have to do this right now. Jesus has to fix this right now. Jesus, if you don't do this, I don't know what I'm going to do. Wait on him. Because in the waiting on him is the making. In the waiting on him is the making. It's the transforming. It's the growth. This is the one I do not like. Like some of you, I've been influenced by those A-type personalities. I think that's what they're called. Those folks who just got to get it done right now. Those are influences in my life, and I feel like I have to get it done right now. But I'm in a season in my life where it's just wait on it, Tally. Just wait on it, Tally. Just wait on it, Tally. And what I see in being a part of Lake Berean is God saying, Tally, if they can just wait on me, the making is in the waiting. Boy, but that's hard. That is difficult stuff. That is painful. It is like watching a Seahawk game at times. It's like they sleepwalk through the first half. It's like they're just letting the other team get a head start. And you're just waiting for the end of the game for the touchdown to be scored or the field goal to be made so you can say, whew, they won. And I say that jokingly, but honestly, it is very much the same way. Sometimes God lets things happen where we feel like we're behind. It feels like God is not even coaching the game right now. It feels like, where's the money? It feels like, how are we going to pay for this? It feels like everything's moving ahead of us and that we're going to lose this game. Wait on him. The waiting is in the making. And so I hope today that we can hear this message together as the people of God being made by God. God bless you.